Welcome to Celebrity Book Club,
a podcast where we read the memoirs of pop culture icons so you don't have to.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kara. And today's book is Whiskey in a Teacup by Reese Witherspoon.
Gay Reese reads Reese. Let's go.
I'm so excited. We had talked about the possibility of doing this book pretty much as soon as we started doing this podcast. And I think what held us off for so long was the fact that genuinely, it is not a book.
It's not a memoir.
It's not a memoir. There are personal anecdotes in here. There's also a lot of recipes. And it's a lot of like...
It's like a lifestyle blog turned into a book, right?
Basically. A lot of very like surface level stories with like enough personal information thrown in that you feel like you're getting a glimpse behind the curtain, but you're not really. And then like recipes and little like tips. And
it feels very Jennifer Lopez's True Love to me.
Yes, it is very much that. And it doesn't really even track through her career in the way that Jennifer Lopez's book did. It sort of tracks through her personal life. Like her home life and like her upbringing.
Well, that's her brand, right? I've in the 30 seconds since we started this podcast, I've developed a new theory about two types of celebrity influencers.
Okay.
There are, and Reese and Jennifer Lopez are in the same category. And these are people who had fame and success pre-social media, but then became social media powerhouses.
Ah, okay, okay.
They always give a sense of their life, but it's very shallow and it's very curated.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a Busy Phillips. And to some extent, I want to say like Gabrielle Union.
Ooh, sure.
But Gabrielle Union has fame. It's just in different pockets and it's very specific.
Yes.
Busy Phillips is probably the strongest example of this, of someone who was working and had a career, but her career has taken on new meaning since moving into social media.
Very true.
Like she got a second life as an Instagram celebrity on her Instagram stories. And those people are like, just cut me open and I'm going to overshare everything with you.
Yeah. Like Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah. And Chrissy Teigen is a great example of this. And these are people who they probably aren't sharing everything with you, but they're creating a feeling like, oh, I'm so in this, as opposed to a Reese and a J-Lo who give you enough. They're like almost copying that aesthetic, but there's still a wall there. And they're like, no, you don't get to know about this. You don't get to like.
Totally. And I also find that those types of people also have an additional endeavor aside from their acting that they're like using their social media to promote, like J-Lo's makeup line or her clothing line like Reese Witherspoon's clothing line what made me think of this was Gwyneth Paltrow, who has sort of pivoted away from acting completely and is now like a lifestyle brand.
Well, that's, they're all trying to be their own Goop. Reese is absolutely trying to be Goop for a different kind of woman.
Yes.
For the Southern woman, as opposed to the LA lady.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Now seems like a really good time to admit to everyone that for a number of years, I subscribed to Goop.
Now seems like a really good time to out Kara Procell for one time sending me a cover letter to read for when she applied to work at Goop.
I forgot I did that. Oh, God. I did do that, didn't I?
I just remember being like, okay, I guess if you want this, but it didn't make any sense to me. I was like, I mean, it reads well, but like, you want to work at Goop? Because I didn't know that you subscribed. Like, you were just like, oh, it'd be cool. It'd be crazy. It'd be fun.
I did. I was that was how I found out about the thing. Because there was like a thing at the bottom that was like, come work with us. We need like a social media intern or whatever. Not an intern, but like God.
Imagine if you had booked the social media management job at Goop. You'd be in a different life. In a different world. This podcast would not exist. So everybody go thank Goop for not giving Kara a job.
For not hiring me. Oh my God. In a similar way, like I was about to say, the reason that I wanted to work for Goop was because I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow and I would be friends. And previously to us getting on mic this morning, Carrie and I had this long, extensive discussion about how I see Reese Witherspoon's overwhelming belovedness as aspirational. Like earlier this week, I texted Carrie, because earlier this week, since we were recording, this was Reese Witherspoon's birthday. And she did that thing where she like reposts when people tag her in her Instagram stories, wishing her happy birthday. And I was like, oh, look at all these different people from all these different walks of life who know her and respect her and care enough about her to like write her a nice little heartfelt message for her birthday. And I texted Carrie and I was like, oh man, I just want to be like universally beloved, like Reese Witherspoon. And she texted me back.
She fucked me up. It fucked me up so hard because it's just not a feeling I identify with at all. I even think I'm on a social media break right now. Like, I can't do these like presentational human interactions for very long in any situation, you know, like I, in real life or on the internet, so much of it doesn't feel genuine, but maybe that's like my own issue that I need to work through of like, why don't I think that people can just genuinely like each other? But I don't think they can. So I think you get like a few people in your life and you're lucky to have them and cling to them perhaps too hard and see if it works. That's my vibe.
My vibe apparently was to be loved by everyone and to be hired by Gwyneth Paltrow and to be the gay Reese Witherspoon. Miss Reese in this book really hammers home her hominess. That's not a word, but I made it up. And
cozy,
her relatability, her comforting, welcoming vibes.
Yeah, she's got a lot of warmth going on.
So, Carrie, I'm just going to mix it up a little bit because it seems like a natural.
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you know about Reese Witherspoon?
I remember Reese Witherspoon in Pleasantville, and starting the movie Pleasantville in my home, and my mother seeing Reese Witherspoon and saying that she was always in like slutty movies. I think because she was in Cruel Intentions is my best guess. Slutty movies. No, okay. I think that's real. My mom listens to the pod, will correct me. I'm probably wrong. It's just a memory I have. So, oh well. I remember Reese in Pleasantville. I remember watching Cruel Intentions a little bit later and definitely like a TV edit of Cruel Intentions. Uh-huh. I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing because like, I also like think it's notoriously obscene, but probably isn't.
It's probably fine, especially by today's standards.
Yes, it's probably absolutely fine. I know Sarah Michelle Gellar had a Coke necklace, but that's about it. I know that happens.
Oh, so that's why you watched it.
Yeah, because Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah, I watched it for Sarah Michelle Gellar. And Sarah Michelle Gellar had a run in movies with Reese's first husband, Ryan Phillippe.
I know what you did last summer.
I know what you did last summer. And so there's very much this like 2000s it couple vying situation between Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar and Reese and Ryan.
That's so true.
And yeah, and that impacted me in lots of ways. I think I liked all four of them. They were just like four hot young people who all got married way too young.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just, I mean, do what you want, but that was wild. So that's a lot of Reese for me. I didn't care for Legally Blonde the first time I watched it. I also prefer Legally Blonde the musical to the film.
I think I do too. Source material, valid, but the musical is superior by far.
Yes. I have gotten many a haircut using pictures of Reese Witherspoon as a model because I think we have similarly pronounced chins.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I would say less so as I have gotten older, but like definitely
in my face shape.
Yeah, we do have a similar face shape. So I have used her as haircut inspo many a time. I, as everyone on this podcast knows, am a huge fan of Reese's DUI. I'm a big fan of I am an American citizen.
This is beyond.
I really love her DUI. And then I like Reese as a producer.
Me too.
The fact that Reese picked up Gone Girl and was like, I want to make this. I want this to exist. And then put her name out to produce it. And then David Fincher was like, you cannot play Amazing Amy. She would have been good. Rosamund Pike was perfect.
Is perfect for that role. Yes.
Is absolutely perfect for that role.
Reese isn't scary enough.
Reese isn't scary enough, but Reese has known that she has this capacity for evil, manipulative white woman. And I don't think anyone has leaned better into that than her. Like, great. Little Fires Everywhere was fine. Sure. Reese's performance was outstanding in it.
I was going to say, I specifically screenshotted one of my all-time favorite tweets for this moment. I'm pulling it up right now. Oops, that's not it. This is it. On April 30th, 2020, so we're approaching the 1 year anniversary of this tweet, Twitter user Davin CCDs tweeted, Reese Witherspoon be playing the fuck out of a white woman, okay? And I've never agreed with a tweet more.
She absolutely does. I think she has come alive in her second act so much more. And I truly don't care about her lifestyle shit. I have checked Draper James countless times to see if their clothes would work with my vibe. They really would have worked with my 22-year-old vibe. And I just sort of couldn't afford it at that time. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, it's a lot of dresses. I'm post-dress in my life. I don't pants all day, every day kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't fuck with her lifestyle brand at all, but I love her turn in later projects. I think she's great in the first season of Big Little Lies. I did not finish the second season of Big Little Lies, and I'm Nor really I. happy with that choice.
Same.
And yeah, I think I'm going to make a direct comparison to Nicole Kidman, who is choosing to take a lot of similar roles. And I don't want to admonish Nicole's career because I do think that she makes interesting choices. Nicole doesn't have what Reese has when it comes to a prestige trash television drama. Agreed. She doesn't have it because Nicole isn't willing to make herself the villain. And Reese is very comfortable playing in a gray area. I am convinced that the DUI made her this comfortable. She went from being America's sweetheart to
having to embrace this dark side of herself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. She's mature, but she is not old. And I feel like it takes a lot of actresses another 20 years before they're interested in that, particularly when you're that beautiful.
Totally.
Beautiful women don't have to do what Reese is doing, and she's doing it anyway.
But she's doing it anyway, and I respect that so much.
That's the thing I like about her the most. And I like Hello Sunshine. I like that she's out here. She started a trend. She started the movement of this like suburban thriller cult book following getting turned into television series. It's so smart.
It's very smart.
She makes prestige Lifetime content.
Yes. And I think that's all people want.
And I just wish we could acknowledge that it's the same thing. It's just a higher production value. And you and I have talked about this so much.
Yes.
I wish we didn't demonize Lifetime in the process, but like those stories are good. Those stories are interesting.
They are.
If you have to watch white people doing petty white people shit, let Reese be in charge of it.
Yes, I completely agree.
And maybe tell David E. Kelly to calm down.
Ugh, Michelle Pfeiffer, come get your man. Like, ugh, please.
This is the thing, is that Reese is a connector. She has roots in everyone. So we're going to talk about all celebrities today.
I think my experience with Reese began with Legally Blonde.
Sure.
Fun fact about me, I think I saw Legally Blonde 2 before I saw Legally Blonde 1.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I watched it at a sleepover. And then years later, I saw Legally Blonde. Again, good, valid film, but I prefer the musical.
Yep.
Her other great hits, such as Sweet Home Alabama, which I just watched recently for the first time.
Oh, I've watched Sweet Home Alabama a lot.
Yeah. Literally the entire time. Did I tell you this? I can't remember. I, for some reason in my brain, thought Matthew McConaughey was in that movie.
Yes, you did tell me this.
I did tell you that. Yeah. And I was like, what? I was waiting for him to show up the entire time. But then, yes, her later work in Big Little Lies, in Little Fires Everywhere, in The Morning Show.
How did I forget about The Morning Show? I actually think she's one of the worst parts of The Morning Show.
I agree. You and I have discussed this at length. I can't remember if we've said anything about it on here, but the Cliff's Notes version is The Morning Show. I'm obsessed with the story of that
show.
There's
such a good story in there and
potential. But I think Reese Witherspoon was incorrectly cast.
Correct. I think she should have produced it. It should have been a younger woman. Agreed. It should have been a woman who was 25.
Agreed. And I, you know, me, number one MILF stan in the entire universe, saying this.
That's true.
Just the role was written and makes sense for a woman under 30.
Yeah.
Reese is doing her best, but it just doesn't read as well.
They wanted the name power that came with Reese and Jen together. And I think Jen Aniston is truly great in The Morning Show. It Agreed. Is the role that made me change my opinion and stance on Jennifer Aniston. So like, I ride for it. But Huge. I think Reese could have also done a really interesting version of that role.
Oh, and she would like get to be the villain a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
As we know, like, she excels at.
She's so much better in a character that's messy. And yeah. And Bradley Jackson is not messy.
I was trying to remember her last name. I was like, is it James Bradley Jackson? God, what
a name. Bradley Jackson, truly one of the worst characters I've ever seen on screen.
I think so.
It's a bad character is the thing. It's yes. They didn't give her the depth that they gave Jen.
Agreed.
Because I think their original pitch was going to be much more of a Jen and Steve Carell.
Right. Show. And then everything happened with Matt Lauer and they had to redo it.
It's a much more interesting story because we have already dedicated other so podcasts time. Where we talk about The Morning Show. I don't remember what they are. You can find them, figure right. it out.
Yeah. The thing. Yeah. And it's like, I know Carrie Aaron is like so competent and capable of like crafting a good story in that way. And I think just because of the changes they had to make, it doesn't read as it could have. But it's still so good. And I will watch season two because Juliana Margulies is going to be in it.
Juliana Margulies is going to be in it. Hasan Minhaj is going to be in it.
Yeah.
I love Hasan Minhaj. Like, great. I'm so attracted to him. And apparently he was not a great boss to the women on his staff, which sucks. It sucks because I'm still attracted to him. And I can't make that go away. So here we are.
It's allowed. We're all held captive by our horniness.
Oh, wait. Tell me what else are your feelings about Reese? You're about the author.
Her DUI, also iconic to me personally. Without divulging too much personal information about myself, several years ago, a lot was changing in my personal life. It was around the time that I came out. And that combined with a series of events in other areas of my life really sort of shifted my outlook on a lot of things in a similar way to what I assume happened when Reese got her DUI. And so Carrie and I internally refer to this time in my life as my DUI.
Yeah. To be clear, Kara Procell does not have a DUI.
Yeah. I do not have a DUI, but we
call it a DUI internally.
And the final thing I will say is that one of my very best friends loves Reese Witherspoon, but said something to me that I can't unhear. She was like, Reese Witherspoon is always saying the right thing, but she says it with the confidence and the outrage of a girl giving her high school valedictorian speech as if she's just like discovered feminism and discovered racism for the first time.
Always. It's fresh.
It's fresh.
She figured it out first. Like she's here to let you in on a secret.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Election? I haven't.
And I know that Pick Flick.
Tracy no. Flick is pretty important to a lot of people. Yeah. That movie has passed me by.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's great. So everyone should watch that.
Just the high school valedictorian energy of it all, I think, really goes with
stems.
Has a deep connection to Tracy Flick. Kara, you read Whiskey in a Teacup.
I did.
A book by Reese Witherspoon.
Critics are calling it a book. That was so very pert happily of you.
Yes, absolutely. Can you tell me what this book was about in 60 seconds?
I definitely can. It will probably not take me that long.
All right. Your time starts now.
Whiskey in a Teacup is Reese Witherspoon's guide to living Southern and living well. It's part cookbook, part etiquette manual, part memoir light. She provides some brief anecdotes about her life growing up and living in the South, and then accompanies them with some tips for living like her and recipes. She includes such things as how to host a good party, how to keep a good home. The hint there is it's fine if it's messy. Surprise. How to be kind, some beauty tips, how to celebrate holidays, her love of books, and the art of good conversation. Really, that's it. It was cute and enjoyable and like probably a cute little fun thing to have in your home, but I cannot in good conscience recommend it as a book.
Wow. Here are the words that have stuck out to me in that. That was well under a minute, by the way. BT Dubs. Living Southern as a phrase. And perhaps this is some, I do want to be clear that Southern is not a synonym for racist.
Correct.
Because in fact, so many people of color, but particularly Black people, live in the South. Mm-hmm. And the idea of the South often gets co-opted by a certain type of person, and that's not okay. But yes. The phrase guide to living Southern is not it for me.
That could be, I don't think that's a phrase that she directly uses. So I will, the subtitle here is what growing up in the South taught me about love, life, and making biscuits.
Fascinating. There's also a lot of like this idea that it is a book, as you are saying, about how to be like her.
It's very much is that. It's kind of weird.
And that is weird to me. That's really, really weird to me. But I am not going to endlessly compare her to Jennifer Lopez, but like Jennifer doesn't say that in her book, but she does have these moments of like, you can do it. You can overcome this. There are these very like, I'm going to teach you
subtextually. Yeah.
And I'd much rather glean a lesson from your experience than have you think that you can teach me something.
Totally.
Because like you probably can, but it sounds like they're written for someone is like, so you want to dress up and throw a party the same way that you've seen me do on Instagram.
Yes. I will say, and I mean, this is from the intro of her book. She talks about like, she's like, I'll share my grandmother's recipes, traditions, blah, 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 blah. That said, if you are looking for a how-to self-help Bible, .. this ain't it. I love a good party and I don't have a ton of free time. So when it comes to shortcuts and good enoughing, I have been there and store-bought that. What I can promise you is that you'll see how I keep my home, how I entertain, and how much fried food I eat. And you'll see how easy it is to bring a little bit of the South home, no matter where you live.
She's fucking lying. She doesn't eat that much fried food.
I know.
That's fucking bullshit. No, don't do that. Don't tell people that.
I know.
That's some Gilmore Girls shit of like, I can eat whenever I want. And this is just how I look. No, you have a personal trainer. You have probably a very strict diet and you go see your plastic surgeon regularly. I've seen you at the Globes, girl, your Botox, because the Globes are the first award show of the season. And every celebrity's face is so tight at the Globes.
So tight.
By the time you hit the Oscars, then they look like themselves. No,
yes.
Like, don't fucking lie. I'm cursing a lot. Sorry, mom. I've already said so much worse today, but like that don't lie. That's
yeah.
You can also, I just admit like, you know what? I do love to eat fried food, but I get 3 bites of it because I have to look this way and because of the societal pressures that are on me and because I do this and that. Like,
exactly.
It's not that hard to say. Like, J-Lo works out 2.5 hours a day and isn't claiming that she gets her body by eating whatever she wants. Like,
exactly.
She's an athlete. I'm not trying to, J-Lo does so much wrong. She has a literal skincare line when we all know she has Botox and she says in interviews, she's never had Botox and girl, just They're all liars. They're all liars. Is this the end of Celebrity Book Club? Because I'm having a breakdown about like the cost of celebrity. I hope not, but maybe I'm done.
I know. It's incredibly frustrating. And what was frustrating to me about that was that it was very clear to me what this book was going into it. And reading that like disclaimer in the intro, it's like, but that is what this is. Like,
yes.
Just own that, you know? I would have appreciated that.
This reads like a mommy blog, but like a chill mommy blog. Totally, she's a cool mom. She's literally Amy Poehler in Mean Girls right now. Like,
totally. You guys need a condom. You guys need a snack. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, you know, she gives Ava and what's the boy's name? Rocky. Rocky is Sarah Michelle Gellar's kid.
It's Deacon, Ava, and Tennessee.
I do not need to know about that little one yet, but I'm sure she'll give him condoms too. Like, I'm sure she has teenagers in her home drinking. I'm sure of it. And I'm sorry if that offends you that I'm that upset about it, but I am. Have some boundaries. Have some rules.
I know.
Sneak out of the house. They can call you for a ride to pick up, but you should be mad at them when they do.
Yes.
You should be glad that they asked for a ride, but still be a little disappointed in them, even though you know that that's a fine thing to do at that age. Doesn't matter. Set some rules. Give some guidance. Don't let them drink in your house. God, and her house is so fucking big. And you know, there's just like whole rooms. She probably buys them like hard lemonade. Yeah. Probably makes like a signature cocktail and has it like without booze. And then it's like tells Ava on the side, like, you could add this and it'd be cute. Oh. Oh, she's Amy Poehler in Mean Girls. She brings in that like happy hour tray of mocktails.
I think I broke you.
I think I hate Reese Witherspoon.
No, don't. The story. Wait, well, I don't know if the story I tell will make you like her less or more.
I think Reese is a brand more than an individual person, as are many celebrities.
Totally.
And in fact, like a lot of celebrities, we don't judge them as a brand, but they are. And like Tina Fey is a good example of that, of like this person whose ideas and like the person is for the most part, like trying to make good choices, but they have cultivated a brand and a culture around them
that they're responsible for, whether they want to be or not.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
And I think that Reese has done that too. I do think she takes a little more accountability for it, but probably not in a book that is her entire lifestyle empire. Like, she's not supposed to. This isn't a memoir. She's not supposed to say, here are the systems that keep me from eating fried food this amount.
What I do really want, and what I hope there would maybe be a teeny tiny bit of, was about Hello Sunshine in here. And there was not. She does talk about Reese's book club. But what I'm really excited for is in like 5 to 10 years when she writes an actual memoir. That's what I really want.
Same. And I love to contrast the ideas that are presented in this book with that book whenever that happens, because she'll have stories to tell. And she's going to hit a point where she wants her career to look a little bit different, and it might be the right time to release a memoir. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, this book is not that old. This book was published in 2018.
Wow. Okay.
So I think this book is for a very specific audience.
Yes.
In the intro, I remember texting you when I was reading the intro of this book and being like, oh, this only makes me love her more. The intro of this book is very much her like current brand. And what I think of when I think of her is very much about women, very much about being inspired by the women in her life, being inspired by the women of color in her life.
Yeah.
A lot. That was very much the intro of this book. And then the rest of the book was not that. So I think the target audience of this is not us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carrie, would you like to play a game?
Please, anything to get me to stop talking.
No, hush. Would you like to play Guess That Chapter?
I would love to play Guess That Chapter.
Well, folks, it's time. Carrie, Whiskey in a Teacup by Reese Witherspoon is 298 pages, most of which are pictures. Could talk about the entire thing, but we're not going to. Instead, we're going to pick one iconic chapter that stood out the most. We're going to play Guess That Chapter. I'm going to list out the settings and characters for you, and go ahead and take a guess about what this could be about. Your characters is a short list. Your characters are Reese Witherspoon, Dolly Parton, and Kate Middleton.
Wow. I'm thrilled to talk about this. It doesn't matter what the content is, because it embodies, like, those are the two Reese's right there.
Yep. Yep.
There. And the version I hate is Kate Middleton. Like, yeah, this presentational, like, all the shit I can't stand falls into that. And like, poor Kate Middleton, you're not poor Kate Middleton. You have so much money, but you are trapped in a loveless marriage. So that does suck for you. But like, but also, I guess you're like a future queen of England. And yeah, you sound like a monster who made the bride cry right before her wedding. So like,
yeah,
fuck off, Kate.
Fuck you.
But Dolly Parton is, and she's also a whole person. And I think we take away some of Dolly's agency sometimes, but like, Dolly has created the exact presentation she wants to share with the world. She has a version of herself that she is comfortable sharing, and is, it matches with a person I'm interested in knowing.
Totally.
But all three of these people are people who have very carefully curated versions of themselves, which is fascinating. Okay. So I'm going to assume it's like some royal wedding shit is my best guess, because like, otherwise how is Kate Middleton involved? And I don't know. I imagine that Dolly is a hero of Reese's, because it's like strong Southern blonde woman who says what she thinks. And like, I think that's true of a lot of people. And I probably, like, Reese is that person for a lot of younger people now.
Yeah. Yes, you are essentially correct. This is sort of one of those chapters where it's like two different stories with the same vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know how people do that? Like, this thing happened, and then years later, this thing happened. It's that. Yeah. So let me paint you a word picture.
Please do.
So like I've said, the amount of actual text in this book is very surface level. And I wasn't really sure what to expect in terms of showbiz stories from this. I was really hoping there would be a little bit more. But there was one, and this was it.
Great.
So Reese Witherspoon, like you assumed correctly, grew up idolizing Dolly Parton. When her kindergarten teacher asked her what she wanted to be when she grew up, she said, "I want to be Dolly Parton."
Yeah, totally.
Years later, she says she wants to be president, both of which I think are admirable.
You're making a face. Have you watched any of the television program Young Rock?
I've never even heard of that.
Okay. It's a new show this season about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And it's like stories from his childhood.
And the
frame of the show. Yeah. NBC will greenlight almost anything.
So, wait, Young Rock a la Young Sheldon?
Yeah. It's Young Sheldon. But instead of a fictional character from The Big Bang Theory, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And it shows him at like three stages of life. One as a kid, one as a teen, and then his years in college. But the frame of the entire show,
I need to like,
you need to process this.
To process this news, but continue. I will shut that part of my brain off.
The frame of the show is that current age Rock, it's like 10, 15 years into the future. And current day or future Rock is running for president. And he is sitting down with Randall Park for Randall Park has pivoted to a news career. And like a running joke in the show is that Randall Park is like, "I used to be an actor." Like he just keeps saying it. That's kind of funny.
I love Randall Park.
I love Randall. Randall Park can do no wrong. But the whole show is framed under this guise of like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to run for president in like 2032.
No.
I think we're going to look back at this show when Dwayne The Rock Johnson tries to run for president and be like, "We let him do this. We let him like indoctrinate all these people." It feels like, when will NBC learn to stop trying to get, stop putting people on screens that might wind up being president? Like,
ooh, I hate everything about that.
I hate it. I hate it so much, because Dwayne The Rock Johnson has hinted that he might one day want to run for president. And I'm terrified that that's real. And Reese shouldn't be president. Nobody should be president that hasn't had to drive their own car in the last 10 years. That hasn't had to go to the grocery store themselves in the last 10 years. That's like, you don't get to do it.
Wow. That is an incredible metric. Yeah. And I agree.
Yeah, there need to be like five of them. Right now it's car, grocery store. And like, you can probably like have one or two that you can get away with. But like, there's in the past 10 years, you have to fill this out before you can get in. You shouldn't be able to do it. It's not okay.
I think that's an incredible metric.
So I'm so sorry. I have created a hostile environment for celebrity discussions to grow. So tell me more about Reese, who wanted to be Dolly and then wanted to be president. And hopefully she's moved past that phase in her life where she wants to be president.
She seems like she has.
Good.
When she was young, yes, she wanted to be Dolly. She was her first like idol, I guess. From a young age, she tried acting. She talks about going to an acting camp in the Catskills, and how there would be like an acting portion and a singing portion. And her teachers were like, "You're so great at acting. Like, you should really do that." And then she would like try to do like the musicals with the other kids. And she was so enthusiastic and so like into it. But they were always like, "You're such a good actor. Like, just do that. Like, don't focus on singing. Like, that's just not your thing." So after years of hearing stick with acting, don't sing, she gets cast as June Carter in Walk the Line, her Oscar winning role, which we have not spoken about.
I forgot that she sang. Because I was honestly thinking like before this, I was like, I would love a Legally Blonde, the musical movie, but stars Reese.
Oh my God.
But she can't handle those vocals.
She can't.
She had to do a lot of prep for June Carter.
She did. And that is what this story is about.
That's fantastic. Oh, I'm thrilled. I forgot about Walk the Line. I saw that movie in theaters maybe twice.
Wow.
When LimeWire was a thing, was right around the time of that. And I stole all of those songs off the internet and just listened to them over and over again. I was a Walk the Line head for like 6 months of my life.
Wow. Well, we love a movie musical, even if it's based in real music or
jukebox
popular musical music. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so Reese was so excited about this role, but she was like terrified for the singing parts of it. Because she was like, my whole life, everyone's been like, "You suck at singing." Mm-hmm. So her dad is a surgeon in Nashville. He operates on people's vocal cords. And because there are lots of singers in Nashville, all of his clients were like kept very private. Just, you know, because nobody wants to hear like, "Oh, so-and-so got, you know, surgery on their vocal cords."
Well, yeah. Cause like the stuff comes out about your nodes and your career is over in lots of way.
Well, she never knew anything about any of her dad's clients until she got this role in this movie. And Dolly Parton reached out to her and was like, "Your dad was very nice to me. He did some surgery on me a while ago. And I heard that you have been cast in this role. And I knew Johnny and June. And so I want to like just talk to you about them."
I fucking love Dolly Parton.
I know.
Of course, she comes off great in this.
Of course. And like she reached out to Reese, like Reese didn't like consult her or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so Dolly Parton like comes to her house and like picks her up in a car, and they go and they have this long dinner. She talks to her about Johnny Cash and June Carter and just like what they were like as people. And Reese was like, "That was really important to me too, because it was one of the first times I had played like an actual person who existed, and so to hear what they were like from a person who knew them very well, especially a person who I admired so much, was so great." She talks about how after the movie came out, Dolly was one of the first people to congratulate her, especially with all of the awards that she garnered from it. Whenever she started Draper James, her clothing line, because it's in Nashville, Dolly Parton was like, "How can I help? Like, can I get you, can I like help you find a storefront somewhere? Like, I want to know what I can do." Yeah. So now they're like actually friends. And Reese is like, "It's one of the most treasured relationships of my life. Like, I just never thought that I would." She's like a mentor to me in so many ways. So I thought that was very sweet.
That's really cool.
Another person that Reese talks about having incredible admiration for, which doesn't read great now, is Kate Middleton.
Okay, but a lot of basic white women of a certain age are big Kate Middleton heads.
I mean, like, I get it. She looks great. But, like, beyond that,
like, she looks great in a
basic white woman way.
Really generic way. Yeah, like it's like basic brown hair, straight, like, but coiffed. Like,
yeah.
she's not interesting.
No, agreed.
I mean, I think the whole point of the royal family is to be bland, but presentable.
And Kate Middleton does that superbly.
Yeah.
And Reese Witherspoon says, why do Southern women like British royalty? As a little girl, I used to watch everything that came on television about Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
My mother follows the rise and fall of the royals closely. Why? I asked her this the other day, and we decided that Southern women like how the royal family, like how the royals value family and how they're always doing good for others. Two statements that I disagree with wholeheartedly, but I understand how that presentation, that incredibly surface level,
but like there is a branch of Southern culture that is about the presentational nature of looking like you're valuing family.
And Reese's grandmother, who it seems like she was very close with throughout this, is the person she mentions most, like even more than her own mother. It seems like that was a huge element of her personality.
There's a thing that happens where someone posts on the internet that a family member has died, an older person, and they talk about like, you know, still wearing your pearls till this and this day. Like the idea that an older woman took the time to look good every day as though that's a thing to be valued.
Yeah.
It all connects to this, like there's a presentational South and there's real South. Yeah. And I think that Reese has experienced both of them.
Mm.
And in an effort and as a part of a lifestyle brand, she is talking about presentational Southernness.
Yeah.
She loves a gingham. Like
loves.
She, I don't know. There's just this thing. There's this icky thing of like, I don't know. Why am I railing on this woman's grandmother who she was probably very close to? But yeah, like,
I get it.
There's a thing that happens where people value matriarchs who take effort in being put together.
Yeah. When it's really like, okay, that's great. And that's fine. But like, how did they make you feel?
Well, and to go back to the reason why you eat three bites of your fried chicken is because of the system that you're in, is the reason why your grandmother needed to be put together is so that she looked fuckable, so that she was able to stay with her husband, so that she was able to have an income, so that blah, 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 so that she could live in a system that was set up to oppress her. Like the right. priority we put on women's looks has everything to do with my looks will get me valued by a man who has money. For so long, I couldn't work. I couldn't do this. Like I need this.
Right.
So I must do this because my worth is directly tied to the way I look.
Especially in the United States and especially in the US South, where there is an incredibly Eurocentric ideal.
Yes.
Of what a person, but especially a woman, is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see the correlation between the presentational nature of the British royal family.
Yeah, me yeah. too. It yeah. to me, it's and outwardly, because they have no power and constitutional authority really anymore, they are purely figureheads. Right. So their only job is presentational bullshit.
Right. Which is
their
like
only job is to be seen at weddings, birth announcements, the same things that you put priorities on within your own family. So that like the whole point of that is so that they're doing a version of stars. They're just like us.
It's interesting because there is a Reese Witherspoon that I like so much and I just didn't see her in this book.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to think about like celebrity as a whole and thinking and like, I say there's a Reese Witherspoon that I like, but like, is that person even real?
Yeah. Who is, we don't know these people at all.
Right. Like, is this person real? Is another Reese real?
Okay. So I think that that's the challenge, right? Celebrity memoirs, even though this is not a memoir, typically are an author's chance to show us the version of themselves that they don't feel has been presented mm-hmm. previously. They don't feel it's come through. And usually we leave these stories feeling more connected to people, feeling like we got insight into their lives and their experiences.
Totally. But this made me feel like disconnected from her.
Because it isn't a memoir, because right. it's a lifestyle book.
it's one version of who she is.
It's designed inherently to be presentational.
Yeah.
It is not supposed to provide insight on her life. It is supposed to provide you with the tools to replicate the version of her that you see.
Exactly. Which is such an interesting choice to me.
But clearly there was a market for it.
Oh, clearly. Yeah.
I can picture it being on lots of people's tables. I don't know. Part of me wants to like explore this genre a little more, mm-hmm. but I also, am I always going to be this angry about it?
I think so. I think especially because there's a contract, right? Like you go into, I mean, we've been doing this for almost a year now.
Yeah.
You go into this expecting that you are going to like learn something, I guess, about this person that you didn't know before. And when that contract is broken, it is, you don't feel cheated, but you do feel like it's that whole thing of like, I thought that I'm going to use a word that's like not the quite the word I want. I felt like I was entitled to learning X about this person and I did not receive that from this. Therefore, what was the point?
Yeah.
The word entitled is like not the word that I want.
You have an expectation.
Yeah. You go into it with expectations.
I expected
this. And my expectations were not met.
We're not met. Yeah.
Yeah. I want the book about Reese's like acting and producing career.
Me too. Me too. I want
to
know.
To me, what's interesting about her.
What prompted Hello Sunshine? Like even Drew Barrymore's not good book.
Yeah.
She talks about building her flower or wildflower, whatever her production company, she talks about what that experience was like. I'd like the same thing. I would settle for a book of Drew Barrymore's second book's quality if it gave me that. Yeah.
And again, like, I think we knew going into this that this wasn't going to be like a memoir, but I was surprised at how little like actual stories there were in here.
Do you feel cheated or is it just my reaction that is bringing about this response, or how did it feel while you were reading it?
The intro had me with really high hopes. I thought there was going to be a lot of that. And then it sort of was all downhill from there. I mean, like I think I said to you that before we started recording, I read 75% of this book yesterday in under an hour.
Yeah.
I was leafing through it and I was like looking at Hillary and I was like, I don't have anything to say about this book. And then finally I got to this story. But I was like, well, thank God, like I have something to talk about now. Cause otherwise I was like, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to like glean from this.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, is us going into it with the expectation that there will be something in there, but also tempering it and knowing that it's mostly a lifestyle book.
It makes me really grateful for the books that we have previously complained about, of books that aren't particularly written well. Like Janet Hubert's book is still on my desk in front of me right now. And while I do not think it was the best caliber of writing, she bared her soul.
Yeah.
She bared her soul enough that like people probably weren't going to be willing to publish her book. People mm-hmm. weren't going to be willing to share that story. So I'm glad she did it.
Yeah.
You get something out of Drew Barrymore's not so great book. You got a fantastic story about three women camping and huddled in the tent together.
Personal fave of mine in our CBC history.
You get something out of them. And I don't know that I fault Reese Witherspoon for this, but
yeah, I think it's just like, you know,
it's the nature of the genre,
the nature of celebrity.
Yeah.
And I think her team probably came to her and they were like, hey, have you ever like wanted to write a sort of like, this is how to be Reese type book, but not that, you know, wink, wink.
And it sounds like probably from that introduction, she was trying to, it's hard to know who did she even write this or did the person who runs Reese Lifestyle write this? But right, like exactly. Part of me thinks there's part of that intro is almost designed with the intention of being like, I'm going to tell you all this, but like, you don't have to do it.
Exactly.
But if you're going to take the time to say that, maybe don't make this product. It's not like you don't have enough money.
Right. Yeah. I feel like this was something that someone asked her to do. And she was like, sure, you know what? I'll like take a couple weekends and I'll like type up some stuff about how I grew up and we can like throw in some of my recipes. Like I'm sure the amount of time that we have spent talking about this book is
the
almost
amount of
equivalent.
She's put into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So any and everything in here I take with a grain of salt. For someone who I personally enjoy so much, it was a letdown that I did not get more information from her when she claimed it was going to be such a guide.
Yeah, it's a guide to such, it's a guide to Reese the mom, not Reese the career woman. Like, and she is both of those things. And I think that's like the only thing I've taken from her, like lifestyle side of things, is that she does both. She seems like she's very present in her children's life.
All in on both.
Also working really hard. Yeah. And to create a book that is only tackling one of those things,
mm-hmm.
it feels like she's locking away this part of her that is the part that you and I tend to care about more.
Totally.
I think maybe we should do some research.
I think we should. I feel a little unhinged.
Okay. Mama, let's research.
Let's research.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Celebrity Book Club.
Are you currently experiencing uncontrollable outbursts regarding the 1997 blockbuster film Titanic? Do your friends and family keep asking you to shut up about the 1997 blockbuster film Titanic? Well, then it might be time to talk to your doctor about Fabrizium, the revolutionary new pill from the doctors who cured Linsanity. Symptoms have been known to subside in as few as 3 weeks. Talk to your doctor today about taking the first step off the sinking ship that is Titanic fever. Fabrizium has not yet been approved by the FDA. Side effects may include dry mouth, nausea, internal bleeding, insatiable attraction to Billy Zane, and a spot-on impression of Kathy Bates as Molly Brown.
Hey friends, Celebrity Book Club has merch now.
You can find links to buy shirts, stickers, tote bags, and more on all our socials.
Check it out at CelebBookPod on Twitter and Instagram.
I am realizing we spoke a lot during the break, but I feel like I didn't really investigate a ton about Reese. I would like to recommend to everyone to look up Bowen Yang's lip sync of her yes. DUI arrest audio. It's
really
audio.
Hard to find though, right?
It is. Yeah. I feel like the last time I went and looked for it, you have to like enter a certain keywords on Twitter.
I looked up some reviews of Whiskey in a Teacup because I just needed to know what other people thought of it.
Sure.
I'm gonna tell you about a few things.
Go.
Mashable said that Whiskey in a Teacup is a delight. This charmer of a book shows the fruits of her labor all strung together with gorgeous typeface and swoon-worthy photos. There's that.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, it's all about aesthetics.
Yeah.
There are a few other, there's a lot that's like relatively positive. There's some Goodreads reviews. And then the article that I spent some time with is a Vox article written by Sonia Chopra. And the title is Who Does Southern Femininity Really Belong To?
Oh.
And Sonia Chopra describes what her life was like growing up in the South, talking about graduation gifts where everyone had monogrammed gifts and how she didn't have a middle name and how that like threw off so many things
and how
there were all of these sort of like unspoken rules of growing up in the South. Totally. And if you did not grow up in a Christian South environment, but if instead you were raised Hindu, like she was, her Southern values have looked a little bit different. And she says a sentence in here that goes, the Southern values I was brought up on, like kindness and standing up for what you believe in, are available to people of all identities, but they alone aren't enough to merit admission to the exclusive club that is Southern femininity.
That's true.
And then she talks about that Southern women have been trading on this particular lifestyle forever. As soon as I read that line, I think about the pioneer woman who I loathe. I hate with every fiber of my being. And I realize that like, I actually hate this type of person, this like presentational parent, presentational parenting is, I think, presentational like culture in general is something I really struggle with. It's why I'm on and off the internet for like months at a time. Sure. I can't figure out how to have a healthy relationship with it, but parenting and domesticity in particular are a part of this that grate me, like truly hurt me. And so she talks specifically about Reese and And she acknowledges some of the good things of like the fact that she uses frozen puff pastry or Cool Whip instead of from scratch everything. But then she mentions like that Reese is clearly trying, but she is still trading on this same type of Southern domesticity that only applies to certain people. She talks about the powerful Black women that her mother worked with and talks about civil rights and activism. And she hints about the changing culture of Nashville, but it's focused still on this rich white aspirational lifestyle, as Sonia Chopra puts it. Totally. And this review is saying in it the way a book critic and professional writer is saying much more eloquently, the putting into words, I think, the things that you and I have been feeling a little bit.
Yeah. Something interesting that you and I talked about over the break was how this presentationalism also bothers me, but something that I was able to put into words over the break was that I know a lot more of this type of person in real life.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the suburbs and because I lived down south for a long time. And
those two, like Southern plus suburban, is exactly where these things meet. And
yeah,
I have dallied briefly in the South, but I've never lived in the suburbs ever. So I like truly, I only know this experience from like going over to a friend's house every once in a while.
Right. Which, and I will be the first person to, one, defend the South as not being a monolith.
Correct. I absolutely agree.
Which I don't think you've done at all. I don't think you've painted it in that way at all.
And I think I would have if I didn't go to school there. Like, I think that was an experience that it took me living in it to see what the South actually looked like.
Was. Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think that's the thing here is that what was that author's name?
Sonia Chopra.
Sonia Chopra. I think what she is hinting at is that it is a very specific, rich, white, Christian, suburban, Southern is like, what is this vibe that is being cultivated in this book? And that there is a myriad of other ways to be Southern, but that this is the one that's probably trafficked the most.
Yeah.
This is the one that's sold the most. And I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Just that.
Well, so it's almost like Reese's book shows us the South as a monolith when in fact we know it's not.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is that she's saying that it's not, but then everything in this book reinforces the stereotypes that she says she wants to break.
It's the same way of like, this isn't a how-to book, but like,
then it's a how-to book.
Bitch is a how-to book.
Yeah.
It's, I'm saying it's not these things because I honestly, the Kate Middleton of it all is like, we know that we're kind of past this thing. It's, we know we're beyond monarchy, but like,
but isn't it fun?
I'm still Duchess of Edinburgh, Canterbury. Cambridge. That one.
Uh-huh.
Canterbury, the Duchess of Canterbury. Kate Middleton. You would make it. It sounds like I've never watched The Crown. Watch The Crown.
And you are the number one Crown stan.
I'm a Crown stan. I'm a Josh O'Connor head. Root for Camilla Parker Bowles up until the Oprah interview. You know how hard it was for me to turn on Prince Charles? Do you know who is the only
person? I know,
because
I was watching that interview and I was like, if Carrie still stands Camilla and Charles after this, I will have to cancel her.
It was so hard for me. And this is what happens. This is why, like, I actually don't think I should watch things that are based on real life, because Josh O'Connor's performance is so good that I had started rooting for Charles, and then he stopped taking his kids' calls. Josh O'Connor would never, but you know who would? Dominic West. And that's why Dominic West is going to play him in the upcoming seasons, because it's not going to be hard for me to disavow Dominic West.
But I mean, I think that's what, and you and I talk about this about The Crown all the time, that's what makes good historical fiction, is making an otherwise unsympathetic person human.
Correct.
And that has been achieved. And now it's time for the other leaf to turn. Anyway.
Kara, I think we have to move on.
I think we do too. I think we're both insane today.
Yes. I honestly love this Send us an email or write some comments if you hated this, because I feel free. I feel like I'm just telling you everything I've ever hated about celebrity culture, which is not usually the vibe of the show, but it's what you're getting today.
That's fine.
Someone is listening to me like, bitch, this is what you sound like every week. And you're always like this.
Let's talk about a celebrity who we universally love. Don Cheadle.
Fucking love Don Cheadle. Let's go.
We are playing Six Degrees of Don Cheadle, where we connect our weekly subject to star of stage and screen,
Don Cheadle. Hey-o.
Okay, so our friend Reese Witherspoon was in the film Cruel Intentions, as mentioned earlier. Another person in that movie is Susie Kurtz, legendary character actress.
Great.
Susie Kurtz was in Pushing Daisies. It's on HBO Max. If you haven't watched it, please watch it. Pushing Daisies with Lee Pace. Lee Pace, if I'm not mistaken, is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He is. He plays Ronan the Destroyer, and he is wearing entirely blue paint. I've been rewatching Pushing Daisies this week, and I would say almost every 10 minutes, I yell to my spouse, who is a huge MCU person, why'd they put that man in blue face paint? Why'd they cover up that face?
He's so attractive.
He's so attractive. It's uncomfortable how attractive
he is. He's so tall.
So tall. It's so tall. He's a real, is he attractive or is he just tall? He's both.
He's both. He really is.
We're
both.
So lucky. We're so lucky that a man can be both. And that man is Lee Pace.
Lee Pace. Carrie, what was your 6 degrees of Don Cheadle?
All right. I'm really excited about this. Because you might die a little bit. Reese Witherspoon starred on the second season of Big Little Lies with Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep starred in The Prom with Andrew Rannells.
No!
Andrew Rannells stars on Black Monday with Don Cheadle. It's just three solid gold connections. I cannot believe Ryan Murphy's The Prom has now appeared on the pod, but
oh wow,
there it is. There it is. It's in
the book. Had we not just ranted unhingedly for an hour and a half, I could go for another hour and a half about Ryan Murphy's The Prom.
We'll be doing a Patreon exclusive one of these days just about The Prom.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Carrie, who are we doing next week?
We have to talk about franchising this first, but I think the answer is no.
Reese, produce more, be in less.
There are two sides of Reese. I, in fact, would like to cancel this version of Reese, and I'd like to just live with the other one, but she contains multitudes, and I will happily engage with the creative work that comes out of Hello Sunshine, Whiskey in a Teacup, and the Draper James of it all. That's a hard pass. I don't need that.
I just want her to produce more things. I think she, in terms of producing, is vying with Brad Pitt for
absolutely
best producing record by a rich white person.
Mm-hmm.
And I want her to do more of that.
Play more evil white women,
please.
Give me lifetime villain realness. And You've pulled the greatest scam of all in that you've convinced people that this is prestige, and keep it up, because like,
it's high budget trash.
I adore it. High budget trash. Like, you got people to pay money for this.
Yeah.
I am sure there's a Lifetime exec who like Reese is her nemesis, because she's like, I've been doing this for 40 years and you came in.
And Reese Witherspoon swooped in with some story about suburban moms. Oh my God. Who are we doing next week, Carrie?
I first learned about this author through a podcast hosted by a previous author. Number two, this person hosted a popular Netflix reality television program this year. Number three, this person is a comedian. That's what I got.
If you have a guest for next week's author, you can find us at CelebBookPod on Twitter and Instagram.
Kara can be found on Twitter and Instagram at _KPRO. That's _KAYPRO.
Carrie can be found on Twitter and Instagram at CFOST Talks A Lot. That's the letter CFOST Talks A Lot.
Thanks for listening to Celebrity Book Club.